Well, I was raised as an army brat. My family's been in the military one way or the other for quite some time. I got out of college in June of 67, commissioned as a lieutenant. 4 days later, I reported to the 82nd Airborne Division. I went through parachute school and ranger school back to back that summer. And then after Christmas, we went on a big exercise down into Florida. And that's when the Tet Offensive broke out in Vietnam. I felt like, this is it. This is what I've been training for. I was an officer, and I had a 43-man unit that was an infantry platoon, and all of my soldiers had been in Vietnam once before, at least some two times. They were very good soldiers, and they kept me alive in that first few weeks of fighting. And Hue is a was, before this offensive, a beautiful city. But Hue, I remember as being shot to pieces. I mean, it was just torn to bits by the fighting, and it was not a very happy place at that point. And I remember some of the orientation films we were shown, it's all black and white, you know, all was just rice paddies, black and white houses, huts. But you get in country, and it's green. I mean, I've never seen so many variations of the shade of green. And the shades of green were alarmingly stunning. And the number of wildlife, it was just everything, you name it. I was almost taken out one afternoon. We were sitting at the base of a big tree in triple canopy jungle, and suddenly crashing down through the canopy overhead, we heard something, and everyone froze. We didn't know what it was, and this gigantic brown sloth hit the ground, had lost his footing up there, and came down and hit the ground right beside me. And he must have weighed 30 pounds, and if that thing had hit me, it would have taken me right out. A couple of years of that makes you a believer in nature. Well, the kind of combat I experienced was, it was all jungle fighting, and in that, you're out looking for the other fellow, and he's either dug in somewhere camouflaged, that's his base areas, and you were looking for those, or he was on the move. And when you bumped into a unit, an enemy unit on the move, the Army has a formal term for that. It's called a meeting engagement, but it's really like a knife fight in a dirt floor Texas bar, except heavily armed. And it's a shootout at close range. Once the first burst of fire happens, of course, everybody does the natural thing, which is they hit the ground. And if you hit the ground in jungle, everybody disappears. So you, as an infantry leader, have to move to where you can best influence the action. And as soon as you move, you're exposing yourself. And so, of course, that drew a lot of fire. So you got busy. My unit discovered the first of the mass graves of civilians that had been just executed by the communists because they were, well, when the North Vietnamese occupied Hue, they had come in with lists of people. They rounded them all up because they were going to make an example of what happened. This was to terrorize the South Vietnamese. So they slaughtered these people. They took them all out to these places around the city and killed them and then buried them in these shallow graves. And we found one of the first. They were all civilians in this one, men, women, and children. And I mean little kids. It was a terrible thing. Warfare is violent. And the things that happen in war can be beyond your imagination. And the aftermath can be worse because you're all pumped up with adrenaline during the action, but then whenever everything stops, that's when people get the shakes. There were moments where I sort of sat and thought, what is this all about? After we'd had a couple of people killed, and it was a pretty sad experience because they were killed on my command. There was nothing under my leadership. There was nothing we could do about it. It was, combat is arbitrary. You could be good, but you could be unlucky. You know, you can believe in whether the war was right or wrong, but your job was to lead American soldiers. I only had one dream about the war in Vietnam. It would come about once every few months. In the dream, the war is still going on, and I'm at my office. And the phone rings, and it's infantry branch back in Washington. And whoever the assignments officer is on the phone saying, hey, you know, the war is not going well in Vietnam. And he goes, you know, we're really rounding up some of the old tigers like yourself, and we want them to go back and kind of tell the young guys how it was done and kind of put a little fight into them. And then he, whoever it is on the other end of the phone, starts to name the people that I went to airborne school and ranger school with and was served with in the 82nd or the 1st Cavalry Division, people I knew well, and said, you know, those guys are going back. That's when I remembered that they were all killed in Vietnam. I was an officer, and soldiers don't get to choose their wars. You know, that was my job. My responsibility was for my soldiers. And if I was going to go back to Vietnam, which I did, and I was going to lead infantry, I was going to do it as well as I could. That, you know, my job was to find the enemy and kill him or take him prisoner. You know, I think the United States is a great country. I'm very proud to be an American. Gave my family and, like, people who come from all over the world opportunity. I'm very proud of America, but I'm not blind to its faults. I feel that, kind of like what Winston Churchill said about democracy, it might not be great, but it's way ahead of whatever's running in second place, you know. But we try as a people. I think we try, and I think what I did was in the old concept of patriotism. You know, I wanted to do something right for my country. I can look back on it and I can say I think I did the best I could, given the circumstances and what I knew then. I look back on that with a great deal of pride. It was a very defining moment in my life.